In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. All over the country today, preachers are having a hard time because they get the divorce reading in the Gospel of Mark. And who the heck wants to stand in front of a congregation where we know there are divorced people and preach about divorce, especially if you simply read what it says without any of the context that goes with it? And here's the context. Jesus has been upsetting the apple cart. He's already got the Romans ticked off at him. The Pharisees, they don't understand him at all. And so they keep coming to him and trying to push the boundaries. Kind of like a teenager. You know, when you got teenagers, and we've all been through this with our teenagers, we keep pushing our boundaries, or they keep pushing their boundaries and pushing our buttons, because they're trying to figure out who are they as an adult, and they're also trying to figure out exactly how far can I push before you don't love me anymore. What is it that's going to break the love? And that's what the Pharisees are doing with Jesus, only they don't care about love. They care about law and order and power and authority. Because Jesus, he's not following the law. This is a guy who goes and eats with people he shouldn't be eating with. He doesn't wash his hands before he eats sometimes. He touches unclean people. He talks to a Syrophoenician woman and heals her daughter. Everything he is doing is breaking the law. And these are the protectors of the law. These are the people who have the law, because from that law comes order. And remember, we are talking about the Jewish people who need order to keep themselves together because the rest of the world hates them. Why does the rest of the world hate them? The Jews were the first to have one God. Everybody else, remember, had lots and lots and lots of gods. The Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, everybody had lots of gods. And there the Jews go, nope, we got one. We're not going to worship you. We're not going to worship excuse me, your gods. We're not going to worship. We're not going to bow down to an emperor. We're not. We're stubborn, stiff-necked people. This is our God. Deal with it. So nobody likes them. And the only way that they can survive is if they have law which keeps the order. And then there's this guy, this ragtag guy who comes out of Galilee, and he's wandering around and he's breaking all the laws. Well, if he breaks all the laws and he gets all the people to follow him, then there'll be no order. And if there's no law and order, then what are the Pharisees supposed to do? Because there goes their power and their authority. And that's why they come to him and ask him about divorce. I think that David Luce, the commentator, is right. I don't think they gave one whit about divorce per se. It was just yet another law to ask him a question about. They could have asked him about more of the food stuff and the cleanliness stuff. They've already done that. They could have talked to him about being with the Syrophoenician woman and healing her daughter from afar. They've already asked him about that. Everything they've already asked him about, so now they've gone and said, well, let's go and see what he says about this one. Because they're afraid of losing their power and authority. Now, you need to know, in that day and age, divorce, maybe not quite as common as it became here in the 70s and 80s, but divorce was not an unusual thing. The problem is, if a man writes up a ticket of divorce and gives it to his wife, the wife now doesn't belong to anyone and has no place in society. And that is what Jesus is focusing on. Remember, Jesus is always bringing the people who are outside in. The unclean are clean. The unloved are loved. He's restoring people to community. And they want to focus on this one small aspect of the law. It happened to have been legal in those days for a woman to write up a bill of divorce and give it to her husband. But the problem is, see, women from birth belong first to their fathers and then to their husbands. So if they didn't have the husband, the father wasn't going to take her back. So where did they belong in society? And that's what Jesus cares about. And then, of course, immediately at the end of this, he starts taking kids into his arms, and you're sitting there going, what in the heck is this gospel about? And what he's doing is he's saying the children who are considered the most vulnerable in society, these are the ones to whom the kingdom of heaven belongs, because these are the purest, because they're not wrapped up in law and order and power and authority. children are innocent. And it's Jesus who turns to them and says, the kingdom of heaven is like them. And if you don't believe like them, you're not getting in either. We all know that hatred is taught. It is not inherent. If children are brought up to love everyone, regardless of the color of their skin or the country they come from or the language that they speak, if children are brought up in a household that lives that love, then the children love. If children are brought up in a household where there's a lot of bias and a lot of bad comments and a lot of bad things happening, that's what the children believe is the norm. We all know this. And so Jesus takes these innocent children and uses them as the example. But I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that this gospel is about law and order and power and authority and the abuse of all of them. Because that's what this is really all about. It's about those who are in charge of keeping the law so that they can have order, so that they can keep the people in line and use their power to make it happen, abusing that power and their authority so that they are safe and so that they can get exactly what they want. That is what this gospel is about. It is not about divorce. It's about a bunch of men saying, I'm in charge, don't you threaten me. And God knows in this country, that's what we've been dealing with for the last several weeks. A lot of people in charge trying to keep law and order and power in their own hands, abusing authority and leaving a lot of people hurt. Regardless, as I said last week, regardless of how you feel about the Supreme Court nomination and now the swearing in of Brett Kavanaugh, regardless of how you feel about him, I don't actually care. What I care about is the way that things happen that have left a bunch of us feeling vulnerable. And it's not just the women in this room. For those of you who are unaware, Judge Kavanaugh has written very clearly, for example, that there is no such thing as a Native Hawaiian, and that indigenous peoples have no rights. So this affects every single person on this res. Okay? And what we're looking at is how a process was done that has left a lot of us hurting. People who have been abused, people who have had bad things said about us, people who have been followed through stores or refused service somewhere because you're Native, women who have been attacked or who know somebody who's been attacked. There are a lot of very, very vulnerable people right now. And if we are going to be the ones who are followers of Jesus, if we are going to be part of the Jesus movement, then we are the ones, again, who have to step up. And we have to reach out. And we have to listen, to cry, to say, I am with you. We're not going to fix all the problems going on in this world. But we can fix the problems that are right in our faces. We can take care of each other. We can skip law and order and power, because those are all man-made things. Authority comes from God. We are followers of Jesus and have taken our baptismal vows, which means we have the authority to go into the world and live the gospel, which means we have the authority to go into the world and love one another. And that is what today's gospel is about. And that is what we need in this world right here and now. There are a lot of hurting people. Are we going to stand up and do anything about it? I know it feels as though the abuse of law and order and power are just ongoing. On Friday, in Texas, a federal court judge overruled the Indian Child Welfare Act and said that it was unconstitutional. Now, one, you need to know, this is going to go all the way to the Supreme Court. This is going to go for years, okay? This is a long legal battle. There was a white couple who had fostered a Native child. They wanted to adopt the child. They went to the courts. The courts initially said, nope, Indian Child Welfare Act. We have to make sure that this child is taken care of by family and by tribe. We are not going to steal any more native children in this country. That's what the law is there for. Well, it's gone through the courts. They eventually were able to adopt the child. However, the state of Texas got involved and said, we think this law needs to be overturned. Now, this is a law that we had to fight for really hard in this country to get. It's not that old a law. It's 70s, right? Wasn't it late 70s that the ICWA was passed? We've had to fight very hard to get it and to keep it. And here we have a judge in Texas saying, oh, no, it's okay to take the native children away from a native setting, away from their families and away from their tribes. And that's got a lot of people worried. And that causes a lot of pain. Because here it brings up every child we know who has been taken away and who is lost. It brings up the kidnapping of the children for the boarding schools. It brings up a lot of pain. We do not have standing, believe it or not, as individuals to write an amicus brief. We do not have the ability as individuals to interfere in this case. We do have the ability to follow Jesus. And we have the ability to love one another. And we have the ability to reach out to those who are hurting because of us. Just as we have the ability to reach out to everybody on this res who is hurting because of the Supreme Court nomination fiasco. And it's a fiasco because it was done painfully. I'm not talking about the politics of it. I'm talking about the impact of it on us. Like I said last week, I believe that Judge Kavanaugh is the 18th Supreme Court justice confirmed in my lifetime. I haven't liked all of them who've been in there, and frankly, some of them who went in, I didn't like them when they went in, and then I was very surprised by them. I can't affect that piece of it, but I can affect how I care for each of you. And you can affect how you care for each other. And that is gospel. At a time such as this, are we just going to throw our hands up and go, oh, they never listen to us, there's nothing we can do? Or are we going to say, you know what, we are followers of Jesus and we are going to live the Jesus movement, we are going to live the gospel, and we are going to care for one another? How are we going to live with the pain that so many of us feel? Are we going to let it eat us alive? Are we going to let it make us go, oh, I'm not doing anything ever again? I refuse to put myself out there and be vulnerable ever again? Or are we going to say, you know what? I don't like this part of what's happened, and this is how I'm going to handle it, and I'm going to make sure I care for those who right now are hurting. That's why Jesus brought the little children in. Remember, first of all, it says in the Greek that they were bringing children to him. We have no idea who they is. We don't know if it was their parents, if it was the disciples. Could have been the Pharisees. They has no referent. They were bringing the little children as the disciples were going, go away, get out. And he is like, don't do that. Bring me the little children. Bring me the most vulnerable person in your society. And let me love that child. And let me bless that child. And let me hold that child up as an example of how we are to live our lives as God's beloved children, caring for each other. We do not have to agree with each other, especially when it comes to politics. We do not have to agree with each other. We do have to treat each other well. When one side goes down into that pit of name-calling and nastiness, our job is not to go into the pit with them. Our job is to go high and to say, I don't like you. I don't agree with you. I think your politics suck, but I'm still going to respect you and love you as a beloved child of God. Even if it kills me, I'm going to do that because some days it feels like it's going to kill us. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. Love one another. He doesn't say a darn thing about liking one another. So how are we going to live our lives? How are we going to go forth from this place? Are we going to go forth filled with despair and filled with hatred? Or filled with frustration? Or are we going to double down on God's love? Because that's what we need to do right now.
There are a lot of people who are hurting for a variety of reasons. And our challenge is to see if we can love the way Jesus loved. Amen.